Chapter 7. Edric and I headed down the beach in the only direction we had yet to explore. Although we didn't see anyone, we did spot a lone hut set off by itself. Larger than the others, it had the same cone-shaped thatched roof and stick-built walls, and it was situated on a small spit of land that overlooked the beach on one side and a tree-lined bay on the other. As we got closer, we could tell that something was going on inside the hut. A shrill, scratchy voice was screaming,
"Me too! Me too!"
A deeper, less distinct voice answered. Although it was broad daylight, with all the greenery, we were able to sneak up and peek inside without anyone noticing. I saw only one person, a short old man with white hair, a rounded belly, a substantial mustache, and a neat, trim beard. Dressed in a knee-length light blue robe, the old man wore a soft, four-cornered cap that threatened to slip off each time he turned his head. Both robe and cap were decorated with scattered silver stars, and a chain of larger stars twinkled around his neck. A large green and red bird with a well-developed beak sat on a perch beside him. On a table against the wall, pink and white seashells held down the edges of a fresh piece of parchment. A quill pen lay on the table, dripping ink beside a small clay pot. From where I crouched, I could see that the parchment was clean, except for a few written words and a splattering of ink.
"I'm sick and tired of this," grumbled the old man.
"Me too,"
squawked the bird, shuffling back and forth on its perch.
"I can't wait until we're finished and can go home."
"Me too."
"I wish you'd think of something else to say."
"Me too."
The wizard's left eyelid twitched.
"You know, it was funny at first, but now it's just annoying. Stop saying me too, me too."
The bird made a rude sound with its beak.
"Now cut that out. I don't know why I put up with you."
"Grrrr,"
said the bird. The old man shook a pudgy pink finger.
"You stupid bird. If it weren't for you, we would have been finished and out of here already."
"Grrrr,"
squawked the bird.
"Don't blame me, Olafat. I told you that lying to a bunch of old witches would get you in trouble, but you had to steal their memories."
"It seemed like a good idea," said Olafat. "All those memories just waiting to be bottled up. Once I found the book, it was only a matter of time."
"You wouldn't have needed to do it if you could come up with your own spells."
Olafat shook his head. "That wasn't the point. Those witches were once the leaders in their field. By collecting their spells, I'm doing the world of magic a service."
"Then don't come crying to me when you don't like what you hear. Even you couldn't have expected those old memories to be pleasant."
Sidling along his perch, the bird twisted his head to the side to stare at the old wizard.
"I never thought they'd be this bad," Olafat wailed. "I can't stand much more."
Something rattled, and I peeked over the window ledge to see what it was. A row of bottles filled a shelf that had been pegged to the opposite wall. One bottle was a sickly yellow shot through with violet. Another was gray with purple specks the color of a bruise. While some bottles were shaking, one that was the color of dried blood looked like it was about to rattle itself completely off the shelf.
"Are you through yet?" said a scratchy voice. "I'm sick of hearing you two yammer on. Close your mouths and listen before I turn you into a couple of cockroaches."
"You're so full of hot air,"
said another voice, shriller than the first.
"You can't cast spells now. You're just a memory."
"Quiet, you old crones. It's my turn, and I'm going to have my say,"
said a husky voice, clearing a non-existent throat.
"I married a widower king who doted on me for my beauty. I kept my splendor for years with a lotion I made from the dust of 1,000 butterfly wings and the milk from 2 bushels of milkweed pods. I was very happy for a time, since I was the fairest in the land. But then my stepdaughter turned 16 and ruined it all by being even more beautiful.
1,000 butterfly wings, muttered the old man as he scribbled on the piece of parchment. Another witch cackled.
You wasted your life trying to stay beautiful, while I spent my days teaching lessons to those who deserved it. Every day I waited for someone to come into my woods. If a maid shared her lunch with me, I cast a spell so that each time she spoke, pearls and precious gems fell from her lips. Maids who refused to share their food had frogs, snakes, and lizards squirming from their throats.
What if it was a gentleman instead of a maid? Asked the old man.
Generous gentlemen received swords of valor or enchanted cloaks. As for the stingy ones,
a familiar voice broke in.
I transformed people as well, but not always for being selfish. I changed my daughter's betrothed into an otter because I didn't think he was good enough for her. When I told him how to break the spell, I made it so involved that he was bound to forget it.
Is that your grandmother? Edric whispered into my ear. I nodded, shushing him with a raised finger.
So, tell us what you said, demanded one voice. I don't think I will. It was too delicious.
Go ahead, I thought. Tell them.
That isn't fair. I told you my recipe for beauty.
We won't share anything else with you if you don't share with us.
Oh, all right. If you're going to be that way, I remember it word for word since it was so perfect. A gossamer hair from Mother of Pearl, the breath of a dragon green, a feather from an aged horse, the husk of a magic bean.
I see what you mean. He couldn't possibly have gotten that right.
It wasn't impossible, mind you, or it wouldn't have worked.
But for an otter to remember that, or find half the things.
How long did he stay an otter?
As far as I know, he still is,
screeched my grandmother. The hoots of laughter from the bottles made me so angry I felt like shaking them.
Now it's my turn, screamed a voice over the tin. And have I got a story?
Who said you could go next? You talked yesterday, so it's my turn.
I backed away from the window, tugging on Edric's sleeve. It's time for us to go, I whispered. We've heard what we came for.
But it's just getting good, he whispered a little too loudly.
What was that? Asked the bird. I think I heard something.
You're always hearing something, the wizard replied. It's probably a loose seed rattling around in your skull. The bird's outraged squawk hurt my ears.
Loose seeds? I'll give you loose seeds.
Plip, plip, plip. The last thing I saw through the window before I started to run was the bird flinging seeds at the old man. We found Grisina seated on the blanket beside my grandmother, who had fallen asleep again. Haywood was chasing seagulls up and down the beach and appeared to be having a wonderful time. We found the answer, I said. You have to come with us. There's a little old wizard named Olafat, began Edric, shifting his weight from one foot to the other. Grisina stood and brushed the sand from her gown. Olafat? I didn't know he was still alive. It's been years since I've heard anyone mention his name. I'm not surprised he's involved, she said, looking grim. He has a shady reputation.
He's the one behind all this, said Edric. You should see his hut. He put the memories in bottles and keeps them on a shelf.
Grisina began walking, and we hurried to catch up.
He has the memories with him now? She asked, a determined glint in her eyes. Are you sure?
We heard them ourselves, said Edric. He was arguing with a bird. It's the size of a crow, but it's green and red and has a much bigger beak.
That sounds like a parrot.
And then other voices started talking, I said. They called themselves memories, but they weren't very nice.
Grisina shook her head.
No, they wouldn't be. A nasty group of witches lives in that retirement community. Maybe all the nice ones moved away, or never moved there in the first place once they'd learned who already lived there.
Not all old witches are nasty.
That's good, said Edric, smiling at me.
He pointed at the hut down the beach. We listened through the window and we heard your...
Grisina held up her hand for silence.
You two did very well, but I think you'd better stay outside. It may get unpleasant in there.
Once again, Edric and I crouched beneath Olafat's window. Hearing my aunt knock on the door, I peeked over the sill, careful to stay out of sight. The old wizard looked startled.
Who do you suppose that is?
Olafat asked his parrot. The parrot squawked and threw another seed at him.
You're the wizard. You tell me.
Olafat took off his hat, trickling seeds on the floor. His head was bald, but for a fringe of hair that reached from ear to ear. Frowning, he rubbed his bald spot before jamming his cap back on his head.
Come in,
he called, his eyelid twitching so much it looked like a living thing trying to escape. When Grisina opened the door, all the blood drained from Olafat's face. Muttering under his breath, he began to reach into a fold in his robe, but Grisina threw up her hand and pointed her finger at him.
No word, no gesture shall you make. Silence keep for your life's sake.
Olafat's mouth flew open, and it seemed as though he was about to speak. When nothing came out, his eyes took on a wild look. His jaw waggled, and his Adam's apple jerked up and down. The parrot squawked, bobbing its head like a broken child's toy.
Would you look at that? That's the first time I've seen the old man speechless. You should have come by sooner. Why, we...
Grisina pursed her lips and narrowed her eyes, a look that too often meant that someone was in trouble.
Silence, bird, or you'll never speak again, she said.
The parrot's beak closed with a snap. Grisina nodded, apparently satisfied.
Now, let's get down to business.
Pointing her finger at the old man once more, she recited a truthfulness spell.
Let the truth be known to all. No more tales, short or tall. May the words we need to hear pass from your lips to waiting ear. From this day on, the truth you'll tell. There's just one way to break the spell. Three selfless acts you must perform to aid a stranger who's forlorn.
It was a spell I'd heard before. Only a few months earlier, a knight had boasted that he was responsible for the death of a dragon terrorizing a neighboring kingdom. When someone questioned the knight's story, Grisina was called in to verify the truth. It was an important point, for whoever had killed the dragon would win the hand of the princess and get half the kingdom. It turned out that a groom in the king's stable had really been responsible, which pleased the princess, for he was younger and much better looking than the knight. The truth would probably never have come out if it hadn't been for Grisina. As my aunt finished the spell, Olafat's eyes grew large and his hands began to shake. I wondered if he had heard of the spell and knew what it really meant.
You may talk now, said Grisina, but I must say that you should be ashamed of yourself. It wasn't the first time you've done something like this, I warrant.
No, I've done the same thing before.
Even while he spoke, a look of horror altered Olafat's features. Stepping back, he clapped both hands over his mouth.
Tell me,
How did you get their memories? Olafat shook his head, but it didn't do him any good, for the words spilled out no matter what he did. I bought a book from a merchant who didn't know what he was selling. Most of the spells were useless, but I tried the memory spell and it worked. I'm terrible at coming up with spells on my own, so I thought this was the perfect way to get some good ones. The parrot squawked and flicked another seed at Olafat.
Stop talking, you idiot! You're going to tell her everything! Haven't you gotten us in enough trouble already?
I can't help it, Olafat wailed.
Grisina's glance shifted from the parrot back to Olafat. How did you get the ladies to come to the island?
I lied. I told them that I'd found some great swampland that was selling for next to nothing. When I gave them pictures, they wanted to leave right away.
How did you get them all here?
That spell was in the book, too. The witches needed something as a focus, so I gave them bags of sand. I linked their brooms with a spell and took their memories the moment they landed.
Grisina nodded, as if something she'd suspected had just been confirmed. Where is this book now?
Don't tell her, you idiot!
Screeched the parrot. Olafat struggled to keep his mouth closed, squeezing his lips shut with his fingers. When he tried to speak anyway, his words were indistinguishable. Grisina sighed and reached out to pinch his nose so that he was forced to breathe through his mouth. The old man held out as long as he could, but when his face started to turn blue, he let go of his lips, gasped once, and blurted out, "It's in the chest under the table!"
"Ah!"
shrieked the parrot.
"Now you've done it, you old fool!"
Olafat began to weep enormous tears. When Grisina started toward the table, the parrot let out an ear-splitting screech and flew at her in a flurry of beak and claws. I sensed movement beside me, and a furry body catapulted through the window. Although I hadn't known that Haywood had joined us, he seemed to know exactly what was going on. In a flash, he tackled the bird and had it pinned to the floor. The bird beat its wings in his face and tried to bite him. But I guess the otter was used to uncooperative food, for he knew how to hold it without getting hurt.
"Haywood, my darling, be careful," Grisina said.
"I'm fine, my sweet," the otter assured her before turning back to the bird. Pressing down on the thrashing parrot, he said, "If you don't stop that right now, I'll rip off your beak and stuff it down your scruffy little throat." The parrot's beak closed with a snap, and it jerked its wings to its sides.
"You wouldn't dare," said the parrot.
Haywood smiled grimly at the bird. "Try me."
"What's going on out there?"
demanded a memory.
"Who is that?" "I heard my daughter, Grisina," said my grandmother's voice. "I'd recognize the ungrateful wretch's voice anywhere."
My aunt's lip curled as if she'd tasted something foul.
"Hello, Mother. If you don't mind, I'm a little busy now."
"What difference would it make if I did mind? My feelings never mattered to you before. But don't worry. I'll shut up and let you go about your important business, Lady High and Mighty."
Ignoring the other memories, who continued to mutter among themselves, my aunt raised the lid of the trunk and reached inside. When she sat back, she held a small brown volume in her hand. "Is this the book?" she asked, holding it up for Olafat to see. The old man nodded, sniffling into his sleeve. His whole body seemed to slump.
"Good," she said, tucking the book into her pouch. "Then you won't be needing it anymore."
"In a way, I'm glad someone showed up," said Olafat, wiping the tears from his cheeks. "Those old witches' memories were driving me crazy. You never met a nastier bunch of women. When I think about all the effort I put into this without getting much real information, they could gossip all night, and they love to brag, but getting them to describe their actual spells..."
"Gossip?" shrilled a memory. "Did you hear that, ladies? The old geezer called us gossips. Just wait till we get our hands on you, you old..."
"You don't have hands," Olafat said, smiling through his tears.
Grisina sighed and shook her head. How do I return the memories to their owners?
Break the bottles,
Olafat answered, gasping when he realized what he'd said.
But please, if you have any decency in you, let me go first. Those old bats would love to tear me apart.
After what you've done, that might be exactly what you deserve. With an anguished groan, the old man fell to his knees and raised clasped hands to my aunt.
Please, I beg you, let me go.
Get up, old man, and get out of here. But you'd better hurry, because I'm about to break every bottle in the room. These are all the bottles, aren't they?
Everyone is on that shelf.
Grisina reached toward a bottle.
Are you still here?
She asked Olafat.
No, wait!
The old man moved faster than I thought possible.
Come along, me too,
he said, snatching the parrot from Haywood. With the bird tucked under one arm, Olafat dragged the trunk out from under the table and climbed inside. The parrot hissed at the otter, while the old man cast one last glance around the room before slamming the lid shut. I heard him mutter something. Then the trunk began to move, rising off the floor and gliding out the door as smoothly as grease on water, passing Edric and me on its way to the ocean.